A new book from local author and illustrator Katie Stewart has just hit the shelves, and it's an adorable story. It follows Wombat the Wombat, who wants to learn how to sing like Fantail so he can make everyone happy. Unfortunately, he struggles to learn how to sing. To tell us more about the book called Wombat Can't Sing, we're joined by author and illustrator Katie Stewart. Good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Record.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about what the story is about.
Well, as you said, Wombat Can't Sing. I don't know if you've ever heard a wombat. They make a terrible noise. So, yes, he's not really destined to be able to sing, and that's what it's about. It's about setting goals that you can achieve. So knowing what you can do and knowing what you can't do. Now, when Wombat decides he wants to learn to sing, what he really wants to do is to make others happy. But because Fantail tells him he should be able to sing, that's what he thinks he has to do. But by the end of the story, he's worked out that he can make others, he can make them happy without having to sing. So that's what it's basically about. It came out of my hatred of the word should. So Fantail tells him he should learn to sing, and I've always hated that word. I think it puts too much pressure on people.
I was going to say, where did the idea come from to create this story about a wombat who wants to sing?
Well, yeah, from that, but it actually, I wrote it, probably 30 years ago when I was teaching, and it wasn't a wombat, it was a turtle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I went back to it later on and I thought, nah, turtle's probably not the right animal to have. So, yeah, I came up with a wombat. But, yeah, it came out of my not liking the word should. I just think, you know, people should... there's the word again.
it pops up when we least expect it.
Yes, it does. It comes up all the time. But, I mean, like when I was a kid, I'll give you the short version. I couldn't catch a ball to save my life. I could not catch a ball. And I was told I should focus, I should try harder, I should practice, I should this, I should that. And I tried and I tried and I tried and I couldn't. The ball just sailed past or hit me on the head. And it wasn't until I was 20 and I was getting headaches and the doctor sent me off to an ophthalmologist and she said, do you know you can only see out of one eye? And I said, no. And she said, yeah, you've got one eye focusing and the other eye's going the other way. And that was why I couldn't catch a ball, because I was one eye on the ball, the other one was on the cricket on the next oval. I mean, it was...
When I was reading the book, to me, it was very much, I took it as realising everyone, like what you're telling with your story just then, everyone is different and has different things that you're good at. So it's very much about finding your skills and what you're good at and being proud of the things that you can do.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But when somebody says should, you tend to get diverted and lose sight of what you are good at.
So why do you think it's important to have these kinds of messages in children's books?
Well, I think it's just something that children need to know right from the very beginning, you know, that they are capable of something. Everybody is capable of something. And if they are encouraged to do what they can do, they're more likely to be happy as adults. Because, yeah, they haven't been pushed in the wrong direction.
And now, not only did you write the story, you illustrated the whole book as well. What are the benefits of doing both, do you reckon?
Oh, there's lots of benefits. It's a lot easier to write the story when you know that you're illustrating it, because when you illustrate, you can put a lot of the information into the illustrations. So when you're writing it, you're not tempted to put a lot of information that you don't need in. So it's easy to keep it too short, because people tend to write children's books and make them too long, because they feel they have to give them all the information. But when you're actually... I very often draw the pictures before I've even written the story, because, you know, I might have it in my head, but I haven't written it down. But, yeah, I've got the pictures in my head already.
So seeing as this was a story that you had written 30-odd years ago, you were saying, had you done the illustrations back then as well, or did they come a little bit later when you were getting ready to publish?
They came, well, when I started writing the Wombat version, they started to come then.
And I love the Australian, the illustrations very much. I feel they very much capture the Australian bush with the bright colours of the native flora and the browny red of the dirt and the outback that we often associate. Can you tell us a little bit more about your art style?
Well, it's a style I'd actually developed a few years ago because I do all my work on the computer. And I'd done a book, and I showed it to Kate at Fremantle Press, and she said, the pictures look, they look as though they're done on the computer. And, you know, there's lots of books come out of India that are done on the computer, and they're very flat pictures, very flat colour. So I'd worked on, and I managed to find a YouTube video that showed you how to make brushes on Photoshop. And I made one that looked like a pastel, and I'd always loved using pastels. So I did this style of drawing and sent some pictures off to Kate, and she naturally thought they were pastels. So that's how I've come to do this style from then on, but then the background I tend to do flat colour because I just want to suggest the bush rather than putting too much detail in, so most of the background is just black colour and the front looks like pastels.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like it's been done on the computer because you can see sort of, I guess, the computer individual brush strokes and lines from the pen. It's really quite fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I have a Cintiq tablet, which is like a huge iPad. So you just draw on it like you're drawing on a piece of paper. So you can make it look however you want it to look, really.
Sheila,
and I've had that for quite a few years, and I've done a lot of practice on it. So it's good. I really love it.
You're listening to On the Record, and I'm joined by Katie Stewart, author and illustrator of the new book, Wombat Can't Sing. Now, this is your third children's book, the other two being Where Do the Stars Go and What Colour is the Sea? I really love how you incorporated native animals in all three books. Can you tell us a little bit more about the decision to focus on native animals?
I've just always loved animals, and I think you can tell stories through animals that you can't really tell with human characters. Like, with What Colour is the Sea, the little koala wants to know what colour the sea is, and she gets all different answers, so she heads off to find out for herself. Well, if you had a human character, like a 3-year-old little girl, you couldn't have her head off to the sea to find out. So you can do things with animals that humans are sort of restricted from doing. So that's one reason. Another reason is I'm not terribly good at drawing humans. So I've always drawn animals, but I'm not that good at people. So, yeah, I prefer to draw animals. But I have written some stories that have got human characters, but I've not managed to get any published yet. So.
Now, all three of these books are written for a younger audience up to roughly the age of 8. Not saying anyone else can't read it. I absolutely loved reading Wombat Can't Sing. But what made you decide to write for that younger age group?
I think it's just what came naturally. Picture books tend to be for that age group anyway. But, I just always loved kids up to that age. I mean, when I was a teacher, I taught up to year 2. So that was the sort of age group I was used to. And I knew what they wanted and what they liked and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it just came out that way. But talking about other people reading it, when I did What Colour Is the Sea, I had a teacher who was a high school teacher, so he was going to get a set for teaching religion because it sort of had it had the philosophy behind it that they could go into a bit deeper, but it was a very simple story. So, yeah. And it has actually been used as a philosophy book in Turkey. It got printed in Turkey, and they've got it as a philosophy for five-year-olds, apparently. They've got a course over there that they do, and it's one of their books. So, yeah.
It's amazing that books can translate even topics like with that one to be more philosophy-based.
Yeah, I don't set out to do that. It's just what comes through, I suppose. It's the way I've been thinking all these years, and it comes out
in
the stories.
Another thing that's quite interesting is that writing and illustrating wasn't how you started your working life. You started working as an archaeologist and ethnohistorian, which is quite a bit different from a writer. How did you go from those professions into writing and illustrating?
Well, writing and illustrating was what I always wanted to do, right from being a little girl. I was going to be the next Beatrix Potter. But my mother didn't believe that was a job. And she wanted me to get a proper job, so I had to go to university and get a proper degree. And it ended up, I did go to do English, but I hated it. So I ended up doing anthropology and archaeology, and then I moved into archaeology as a job and doing ethnohistorical research. But then I decided to become a teacher, and, yeah, I still had this urge to write and illustrate. So when I finally finished having children and everything, I thought, well, if I don't do it, I'm going to regret it. So I set out to find out how to get into it. And I'd been working in the school library. And when I retired from there, I think it took me about 5 years of drawing and sending things off and talking to people and that sort of thing before I actually got picked up by Fremantle Press. So that's how it came about.
Do you have any plans of writing a children's book which includes bits about archaeology or ethnohistory?
Yeah, I do have a story, actually. It's called... I haven't actually given it a name, but it's about a little boy who wants to be a paleontologist.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, so he goes out looking, but he keeps finding treasure. But he doesn't want to find treasure. He wants to find dragon bones. And, yeah, it goes on from there. But there's a dragon following him, picking up all the treasure. But that came from a story I saw that was on about an archaeologist who was looking for bones. And I thought, archaeologists don't look for bones. That's a paleontologist. So I wanted to write the opposite version.
So what do you think the benefits are of having a diverse background in skills and professions when it comes to writing?
I think all experience comes into your writing. I don't set out to use any of it, but it probably does come in. But, I mean, it's not just the jobs I've had, it's just the interests I've had. I mean, I've always been a bird watcher, and I've always loved going out in the bush, and I've always loved animals. So that's where what's come through mainly. I suppose with teaching, you sort of have characters in your head from children, you know, the sort of, and you translate them into animals. But I'm not sure that archaeology ever really featured, apart from this book that I hadn't actually sent off anywhere yet.
Now, finally, your book, Wombat Can't Sing, hasn't been on the shelves for very long, but what has the feedback been like on it so far, and can we expect any more wombats in future books?
I haven't actually had any feedback on it yet. It only came out yesterday, so... But, yeah, as far as wombats go, definitely there will be more wombats, but because I love wombats. I actually had a friend who said, oh, no, don't write a book about wombats. They're smelly and they dig holes that horses fall down. But I love wombats. I think they're one of the best animals in Australia. But... Yeah, it's often the story suggests what the animal's going to be, so it will depend on what the story is, who I put into it, but yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the record and telling us more about your book. I wish you all the best for the reviews when they start to come in. I very much did enjoy reading Wombat Can't Sing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Katie Stewart, author and illustrator of the adorable book Wombat Can't Sing. It's published by the Fremantle Press and I highly recommend giving it a read. We've had someone just email in from Tristan saying, my kids love What Colour Is the Sea? Thanks so much for getting in contact. You can send me an email on studio@rtrfm.com.au or send me a text 0405 921 921.